Good morning. Today is Friday, June the 26th. 180th day of the new year. Almost halfway. Joining us
so soon
on our trail.
So soon.
Yes, Mr. Quimby is alongside. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Nice to see you.
Oh, it's
bright and chipper.
Nice being seen at my age.
Instead of being all worn out at the end of the day.
That's right. This early morning is just wonderful.
Hey, it's peachy keen.
Sunshine. Good company.
If I keep using those old phrases, perhaps you'll feel younger and
you can hope.
Peachy keen?
You can hope.
How was the last time you heard that one in a sentence?
When I said it.
Yes, that's what I thought. You've got our quote book. Have you found one?
I have a new quote book.
A new one? Really?
Yeah, the portable curmudgeon.
Ooh.
Yes, indeed.
That has promise.
Marlene Dietrich. I got many quotes, but I'll just tease you with one. Marlene Dietrich, in America, sex is an obsession. In other parts of the world, it is a fact.
Yeah, okay, sir.
Well.
Why?
Why? Oh, we're very provincial in this country about sex. You know, Clinton was having his big yahoo. The French were going, what? What's all the fuss about?
Because of the religious roots?
No, because
of the culture
of the,
or
because
England,
of the preoccupation.
Or?
And we started off as a puritanical country. And Europe kind of grew around it or away from it or off of it. Or so the Puritans had their way with lots of things. And they've stuck a lot, right? But people in France and Germany and Italy, and they're going, what? What's the fuss about? Why do they make such a big issue out of sex? It's not worth it.
So what do they make a big deal about that we kind of treat similarly as an, eh?
Oh, what an excellent idea. Well, think about the European common market and how Greece is in trouble economically.
Well, we're not doing that rip-roaring.
I suppose money is pretty much universal. What would Europe do that we poo-poo? That's a good question. I don't have an answer.
Okay.
Get away from me.
Yeah. Commercial break. No. Easy, Rich.
Just kidding.
That would have been good timing, however.
Yeah.
If you would have thought about it just a little bit more.
Just, yes.
Reflect just a little bit more.
Just
yeah.
More quickly. That's darn.
Oh, gee. Yeah, there's the divide that many attempt at separation between religion, spirituality, however on that continuum, and
religion is a body of dogma, like
day to day,
like politics or science or education. Spirituality is a different issue.
Why has there? I mean, since you are all knowing here,
oh, get a grip! Please get away from me again.
Why do you project that there is an attempt by a large segment of society to de-religionize everything?
Well, one of the problems with I understand the general nature of your comment. One of the problems with that is that people tend to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Kind of like us. We're going to a break now.
That's right.
Yeah, okay. Again, timing.
That timing.
It's
timing.
8:19.
Because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning. KINS, News and Information Time is 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Lou, we were talking before the break about decoupling religion, spirituality.
Throwing the baby faith, out with whatever, the bathwater.
With society, that there's a huge attempt by a lot of different segments in a lot of different ways to do that. Why?
Well,
what does that serve in the human psyche to do that?
Well, my take on rigidity or power plays or is that it makes people feel good about themselves. And if they, the functional part is feeling good about yourself and then spreading that around with other people so they feel good about themselves and we feel good about ourselves equally, that's fine. We can go about our business. But if I feel good about myself by stripping you of something, then that's feeling good about myself by taking something away from you or diminishing you. So in comparison, I'm better than you, right? So
it's really like almost an ego gratification?
Yeah. Or and self-centered? Most low self-esteem is based on fear and loss. And so if people develop that in childhood, then they will figure out ways to do the same to others when they're grown up. And then a lot of people want to solve the problem by throwing the same solution at it that generated the problem. So if people grow up in a home where there's little affection, no particular focus on their personality, their interests, their feelings, their hopes, their dreams, then they grow up with a hole in their heart, as it were, or a hole in their spirit. So if their personhood is not paid attention to, dignity, then they grow up and they don't feel good about themselves, then they can take other people's personhood away from them as an attempt to make themselves feel good.
It doesn't work.
So they use the same method to cure the problem that generated the problem. And you can't put a fire out by pouring gasoline on it. So that piece of competition has always been there. It's reflexive, and it means that people have to pay attention to who's gaining and what it is they're gaining. The problem I have with some of those situations is that people aren't aware of what they're doing. It's unconscious material. People have forgotten. They may know.
Forgotten in their life or forgotten culturally?
No, in their life. Yeah, they may know that they were ignored as a child, but they don't pay attention to the hurt. It's not in their awareness. They buried the hurt. So then they dump that on other people by power plays, politics, religion, science.
So now let's move to the situations in Tunisia that happened overnight.
What happened in Tunisia?
Resort area. They're saying Taliban, but let's say, you know, any of the whole ISIS group. Just started shooting up. France. There was a car they rammed through the gates, but before that they had beheaded somebody and
it looks
put
random.
The head on the pike.
Looks random, but it's all fundamentalist religion stuff. Yeah,
and it's a kind of playing out in a different...
That's the most obvious kind of power play. You know, believe as I do or I'll kill you. March for peace or I'll kill you. You know?
Yeah.
Join my religion and worship Allah or I'll kill you. What? Jeez.
The question I've got is I think there's always been, maybe not to that extent, but that perspective, is the relativeness and how that's treated versus how Christianity is treated culturally in America and in the media.
Oh, it depends on how much oppression you want and how you deliver it. And you get more with a kind word and a gun than a kind word alone. You remember that one?
Sure.
Okay, well, the ISIS thinks they can get more with a harsh word and a gun than they can with a harsh word alone. So they threaten and intimidate, and people want to live, then they have to convert, or at least they have to act like it. But that cannot last forever. It didn't last for Hitler. Didn't last for Stalin. Doesn't last forever. There's eventual revolution because rigid systems like that bend and break of their own weight. They get eaten from the bottom up, not from the top down. They get assassinated, or they get removed, or they get jockeyed out of position for somebody else who wants the absolute power. The problem with absolute power is that just that, it gets toppled by its own top heaviness. You know, the old Barnum, you can fool some of the people some of the time, et cetera, right? Well, you can scare most of the people most of the time, but not all. So the top is going to fall apart based on its own top heaviness, socially, psychologically.
So there's not always somebody who wants to replace?
Oh, there's always somebody there chomping at the heels of who's got the most power, the Ayatollah. There's going to be a song about that somewhere.
It's probably a parody.
A parody. That's the song.
Yeah, we just have to look to Weird Al.
Weird Al. Yankovic would have it, yeah.
Yeah, or was it Spike? Oh.
Spike Jones in the old days.
Yeah, in the 50s and 60s, yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Us old people.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept of double standards, I think, is something that we're all wrestling with.
Oh, yeah.
Culturally, certainly, in our country.
I certainly work with this psychotherapeutically on a regular basis.
More so today than yesterday?
No.
Is there a trend?
Double standard is not based on, oh, you twit. No, you had to work it in, didn't you?
Well, yeah. Otherwise, I would have forgotten.
Yeah, right. Throw it out while you got it in your head.
Commercial break discussion. Sorry, folks.
Yeah, right.
You're in the dark and we'll remain there.
No, ever since, for the last 50 years, I've watched double standards. They don't change. They're all the same. Doesn't matter. Same difference psychotherapeutically. Now, how they apply to...
Topics and application are the variable?
What?
What the double standards are about.
Oh, the content.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, that, well, I suppose.
Your word, my word.
Yeah. Well, my word is...
Yeah, I know. Can I get up off the floor yet? grovel.
Well, if you look at childhood experiences in the family of origin, there's rules for intimacy in the family of origin. And kids make decisions about what they have to do to survive psychologically and survive socially in their family of origin. And sometimes that means, for example, let's say never be angry at daddy because daddy loves you. Even though daddy beats you for your own good, daddy loves you. So never be angry at your daddy. And your mother is a saint, so you can't be angry at mommy either. Well, what's going to happen to a kid who's required to suppress or repress all of his anger, ordinary, everyday, healthy anger? What's going to happen to a kid who's has to repress all that? They grow up and they get interested in politics or religion or science. What are they going to do with all that repressed energy? Is it going to come out? Well, some people it'll come out, some people it doesn't. If it comes out and they're a religious leader and they're not allowed to get angry with anybody, where does that anger go? Sometimes it goes into hookers and booze. I think of what's-his-face got caught in the Volkswagen with the hooker. And then he does his tearful mea culpa on TV. Takes something like took off 6 months and then stirred up his TV program again, bigger and better, because Christians love to forgive and forget. So that's fine from a social point of view, because people get some comfort out of that. But if you're married to somebody like that, and they're out doing hookers and booze, that dilutes the intimate engagement in the marriage, which is a mirror for the dilution of the intimate engagement when that person was a child. Mom and dad didn't pay attention to him. So that's a circle that goes round and round and round in terms of double standards.
Are there cultural double standards?
Well, I was thinking about the French and sex, for example, and Clinton.
I knew you couldn't get your mind off of it.
I can't. No, it's a compulsion. I just help me. Italians and sex. Let's go to Italians and sex. French Italians, the French Riviera, the Italian Riviera. They don't think much about nude beaches one way or the other, right? And we get all tangled up in our knickers about nude beaches and all that stuff, right? And who cares? I mean, you want a full body tan, go for it, right? However, there are some people who shouldn't wear spandex.
Yes. I think that's consensus across all walks of life.
Right.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, if you get old like me and you like the sun, I don't care. As long as I'm wearing something, leave me alone. A wrinkled, old, white, Moby the white whale, right? But if I'm happy with myself and I'm decent in public, then walk away. But if it comes to sexual behavior, then some people get to be righteous and they can put other people down so they can feel better about themselves. So that's why I only do right and wrong about two things. The rest of the time, I'm interested in looking at the consequences of people's behavior. And if people in a relationship will look at the consequences of their behavior, then they can develop options. If people don't look at their behavior and what generates it, they don't have options. They're just driven to do that behavior.
Why not? Okay. There appears to be double standards for race. There appears to be double standards for sex. There appears to be double standards for religion.
Oh, yeah. It depends on
your
childhood.
Are our double standards consistent?
Depends on your childhood experience. Content.
Okay, race. I mean,
Content varies, right? I was raised without prejudice.
Yeah,
I don't care one way or another about race, creed, color, religion.
Well, we have the thing with the flag, the Confederate flag, the stars and bars. That is a big deal. It seems that race is being used for political purposes on a very regular basis.
Well, yeah, if you look at the social level content, and you look at Hitler, and you look at Jews are the reason for all of the world's ills, I mean, that just beggars comprehension, right? Well, why do people buy into that? Well, if you look at Germany, it was bankrupt, and people were eating grass and bark off of trees and whatnot. The war didn't make that much better either. People were still starving during the war. So people got a little better, and if they can find something outside themselves to relieve their distress, like hating the Jews or hating the blacks or hating the Asians or hating something, they can focus on
hating. Or the whites.
Yeah, the other whites, yeah. Mm. If they can focus on hating something, then they get a little temporary relief from their feel-bads.
Rather than dealing with the cause, deal with the symptom?
Yeah, they deal with the symptom. Yeah, because the cause is pretty scary. You know, dealing directly with mommy and daddy, for example, in their head.
Mirrors can be that way.
In their head, yeah. So dealing with mommy and daddy stuff is basically an acquired taste and an acquired skill. Yes, it is indeed. I remember Virginia Satir said that Virginia Satir is a world-class therapist. I was at a lecture once, and she said, 80% of the people you meet have significant dysfunction. And I got thinking about that, and I went, oh, okay. So if I do my own work, and I get myself into that 20% of healthy people, now I'm deviant. I'm only 20% in the culture.
I prefer mutant.
Now I'm mutant and deviant.
There you go, yeah.
And strange. So people that are in that 20% do things like get away from me, which is not nice. It's supposed to be rude. But get away from me is an interesting solution. Same as career, I want to talk to you. Anybody who has children knows get away from me.
And come here, I want to talk to you. Yeah.
They know them both.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:48. We're back this morning with Lou Quimby. Lou, if somebody wants to become part of the deviant 20% of, I wouldn't want to say normal, let's just say healthier.
Well, you got to know what your triggers are, first of all.
Just kind of moments of reflection, or?
Well, triggers have to do with what stirs up your defense structure. And kids develop defenses when they're little, so that they can avoid, minimize, ignore whatever fear develops when they're not paid attention to. So if they're not paid attention to, then either they can figure out some way to keep their interest going in life and living, or figure out some way to soothe themselves. And as they grow up, then sometimes that soothing mechanism turns into sex, drugs, alcohol.
It manifests somehow.
For some people. And then other people, it turns into power, money. So if you get into power and money and words and feelings, for example, you can get into politics, religion. There's a couple of examples, right? And so the difficulty with that defense structure is frequently enough is not enough. They got to have more. More power to feel better.
You're always chasing the next thing.
So they're always chasing the next thing instead of having some limits about enough's enough. So how many Ferraris can you own and for what purpose? Now, if you're a car dealer and you make money on it, then you figure out, okay.
Well, they're not yours.
They're not yours. Mm-hmm. And you may enjoy those passing through your hands, as it were, and you can get some fun out of that. And then you retire. What are you going to do when you retire? Collect stamps? Probably not. You're going to do something that way. So if people are healthy, they plan their retirement with different interests.
And pursue them.
And pursue them.
Thanks for coming by. That would be a thank you very much.
You're welcome. I'm so pleased to be here.
See you Monday.
You just can't imagine.